All right. Did we get it back? Okay, we're working on it. Our study, of course, is the Holy Spirit in you. And we're going to spend several weeks talking about the Holy Spirit and you. And it's all about His ministry in your life. You see, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, He has a ministry in your life. Do you need Brother Brian to help you? It was there like it should be, Brother Brian, and it changed colors. And we don't know what happened. While they're doing that, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter in some things of the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to look at one verse in that chapter. Well, we're going to look at two. I want you to always remember this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Paul writes there, "But ye," he's talking to saved people, "are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Period. Then he says this, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," that's the Holy Spirit, "he is none of His." So if a person don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, they're not saved. It's what Paul wants us to understand. All right. Now verse 29. Again, Paul writes there, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And then go over to John 17, 17. John 17, 17. This, of course, is the chapter of Jesus' prayer, talking to his Father before his arrest and trial, etc. But John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Father, again tonight, we're going to look at the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives as believers and how we thank you for it. Thank you that, as Jesus said, you would not leave us comfortless, but we have within our hearts the very Holy Spirit of God and your guidance and direction. Now we pray that we would be attentive to Him and sensitive to Him as He speaks to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We still didn't get the color. There it is. There it is. All right. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about. And tonight we're going to talk about His sanctifying ministry. And I would venture a guess, and you know, I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but I would venture a guess a lot of believers really don't understand what the sanctifying ministry of the Holy Spirit is. I think a lot of believers, to them, the idea of being sanctified isn't something they really grasp a whole lot. But this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed that God would sanctify believers through the truth. And of course, the Bible is the truth. Now, December 16th, 1944. Some of us weren't around then. Some of you were. But on that date, 600,000, did you get that? Over 500,000. American soldiers began a five-week fight, would be the single largest and bloodiest battle of World War II. It was known as the Battle of the Bulge. And that battle began as a secret, massive German offensive near the small country of Luxembourg. And the intent was to drive the Allied forces right back into the ocean. Well, fortunately for us, the Allied forces won the battle. But understand this, in winning that battle, the Allied forces suffered about 81,000 casualties. 19,000 of our men died. 19,000 in 5 weeks in that battle. Now, if you were to go over there and tour where all this took place, you would come across a 50-acre piece of ground that's known as the Luxembourg American Cemetery and Memorial. And of course, as our military cemeteries are, like Arlington, the White Cross has filled the landscape. When people come there and they see that, they visit, and they come with the purpose of remembering what happened there and those that died for our freedom. I'm told that it's a very beautiful place. I'm told that it's meticulously maintained and manicured, very serene, very peaceful. And you know, isn't that in a great contrast to the battle that it memorializes? Serene, peaceful, strikingly calm and tranquil. By the way, that's just one of 24 American cemeteries that are in foreign countries. And every one of those is a memorial of hallowed ground where we remember the thousands that died for our freedoms. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I want you to understand this. Every one of those cemeteries is a place that has been sanctified. Each part or plot of land represents a payment of American blood and stands set apart for that particular sacred purpose. The purpose of that being set apart was honoring the sacrifice. Now, in much the same way, when the miracle of salvation occurred, the Holy Spirit indwelled your life. You were born into God's family. You became His precious, treasured child. And when that happened, watch this, by grace now, God has set you apart. He's chosen you that you might live a life that pleases Him and honors the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ that was offered on our behalf. Like those cemeteries, honor the blood sacrifice of those who gave themselves on our behalf, we are to be set apart that we might be memorials, if you will. We might be the symbols, if you will. We might be set apart for God in honor of that sacrifice Christ made. You know, when people visit that cemetery at Luxembourg, and I don't know if you've ever been to Arlington or any of those cemeteries, it kind of grabs you. It stirs in us a desire that we might live honorable lives as Americans. But you know, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ should compel us to honor the sacrifice that He made for us. And live our lives in honor to Him. Now, in a practical sense, the Holy Spirit wants to make what's happened in here visible out here. He wants to make what God did here visible in our daily lives and our daily choices. Sometimes we're not liking this, but the fact is, the Holy Spirit is working to change you. What do you mean? Sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes we don't want to change. Sometimes we're not cooperating. You know, we take the attitude, I am what I am, and I'm going to be what I am, and I'm this way for this reason or that reason, whatever. And the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. You need to change. And I'm working in here to change you. He wants to change our outward lifestyle. He wants to change our daily choices. And He wants to change us from the inside out. And He wants to use our life for an eternal purpose. As I was praying today, I was talking to the Lord again about how fragile life is. You know, when we're kids, we think we're going to live forever. Everything's ahead of us. The older we get, the more we understand we're only here for a short time. And God wants to use that time that we're here for His glory and His praise. Do you realize you're special? Do you know you're a designer model? God didn't make cookie-cutter Christians. We used to have a sign downstairs on one of the rooms. I don't know if it's still there yet. Something to the effect, I know I'm special. God don't make no junk. You're special. Now, once you belong to the Lord, now He has a desire to set you apart. Here's the word, to sanctify you and use you by His Holy Spirit. The word sanctify, as it's used in the Bible, here's what it means. To make holy or pure, to consecrate. Now, our sins were paid for on the cross. You agree with that? Jesus paid for our past sins, present sins, future sins. He took our sins upon Him on the cross. And so now we stand righteous and forgiven before God positionally. Positionally, when we stand before God and God sees us, He sees us as righteous in Jesus Christ's righteousness. But we know that's positionally before God. Practically, we're really not righteous. Do you get that? Practically, every day we get out of bed and we face the struggle that we have with sin in our life and the flesh. But you know, every day God calls us to holy living. Oh, that's so missing in our churches today. Holy living. And His Holy Spirit is in us working and striving to purify us. Listen, after you're saved, you are not who you used to be. We know that. And your Heavenly Father doesn't want you to act like you used to act. He doesn't leave us alone in our quest for this daily holiness and purity. He gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a sanctified life. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop working at salvation. That's when He begins really working in our life. Now, He works to bring us to salvation, but He doesn't stop there. He continues every moment, every day, transforming us. Romans 8:29 says, into the image of Jesus Christ. That's where He's trying to take you. To be more like Jesus tomorrow than you were today. Chiseling away, God is at you. Knocking off the rough edges, knocking away everything that's not like Jesus. Sanctifying of the Holy Spirit. See, here's the fact of it. Most of us who really want to live the Christian life know it's too hard for us to live in our own power. We can't do it. It is absolutely beyond our capacity. But it's not hopeless. We can do it if we will strive to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do that supernatural work within us. So let's talk about how God sets us apart. Here's how he works at sanctifying us. Number one, the Holy Spirit reveals our sin. Well, who don't know that? Have you ever thought about this? The Holy Spirit knows you better than we really can know ourselves. Think about it. He knows us. Listen, he knows the real us beyond how we fool ourselves and overlook things. The Holy Spirit sees the real us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He actually knows things about our hearts. He knows things about us that we would, without him, we would never see. See, the Holy Spirit searches. We sing that song, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." You know what we're saying? Holy Spirit, put that searchlight on me. Examine me up close. You know, sometimes seeing something up close enables us to see the problems where we can't see them otherwise. I was thinking about this. Have you ever had a piece of metal in your hand that was tiny? And it was in there, but you kept, there's something there, but I don't know what it is. If you're like me, it bugs you to death, so you go get a magnifying glass. And now I'm, oh, there it is. And now it looks like an I-beam. Wow. But you see, I couldn't see it without that magnifying power. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes we can't see what's wrong with us. And sometimes it's because we don't want to see. When we have the Holy Spirit within us, he searches our hearts. He's looking. And he reveals things that we never saw before. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what about this?" Have you ever been reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit slaps you with a verse? See, he's searching your heart. He knows where the problems are. He knows what sometimes we don't want to admit. And he confronts us. We don't like that, do we? Do you like it when there's a problem and somebody has to confront you about the problem? No, that goes against our flesh. But see, we're not supposed to be walking in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit will put his finger on it. He said, "Hey, here's some flaws. Here's some imperfections you need to deal with." And by the way, he's not trying to be hard on us. That's his ministry of purifying and sanctifying our hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul wrote this, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Listen, this is sometimes a hard thing to do. But you know, on a daily basis, we need to ask God to search our hearts. Lord, if there's sin that I'm hiding from myself, if there's things I'm not willing to admit, search my heart and bring them before me. Psalmist said, "We're not to sin presumptuously." "Search me, O God," the psalmist said, "and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting life." That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He searches, and then when he finds something, he convicts. We know what that's all about, don't we? That spiritual heartburn. Tums won't take it away. Malocs won't take it away. Nothing you can do will deal with spiritual heartburn. That's when he burns in your heart and convicts you about, hey, we got a problem here. See, Jesus said one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit, you ready for this? Is to reprove the world of sin. You know, one of the things I'm called on as a pastor to do is reprove. Now, that's not pleasant, but I'm to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now, I wish all I ever had to do was exhort. We like it when we're exhorted, don't we? We don't like it when we're reproved. But the Holy Spirit's ministry also is reproving. And here's what reprove means. It means to convict or refute or confute. Generally, with a suggestion of shame on the person who's convicted. Rebuking is to point out that there's a problem here and bring you to the point of admitting the problem is there. Bringing that problem face to face with you. To bring to light, to expose, to find fault with, and to correct. See, just like the Holy Spirit convicts us of our need of getting saved. You remember that? Remember how your heart burned when you heard that I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell and I need Christ and something was going on in here? Well, He does the same thing about sin in your life. We need to be careful that we don't callous our hearts. And by the way, conviction isn't pleasant, but it's a privilege. I don't like conviction, but I thank God for it. You know one of the great things about being convicted by the Holy Spirit? It reaffirms in your heart that you have Him. He's still working on me. Yeah. So thank God for conviction. You know, sometimes I've preached messages and somebody will come to the door and they say, "Boy, that nailed me." I've even had people with the idea that somebody had told me about them. No. No, nobody has to tell anybody. See, and I've said this many times, I don't preach with a rifle. I don't aim at anybody. I preach with a shotgun. If you get hit, it's because you needed it. Huh? You know, if you take a handful of rocks and you throw it into a bunch of chickens, the one that gets hit is the one that's going to squawk. Huh? And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people are in church and you know, "My wife must have told you all about me." No. No, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. We need to understand that. You know, one fellow said, "It would be impossible for a teacher or preacher to make personal application to every listener." But the Holy Spirit does exactly that. And can I share this with you? I've been in church services where the Holy Spirit convicted me, and it wasn't even anything about what was being preached. He just got a hold of my heart and started dealing with me. Hey, that's His business. That's what He does. And let me just say this. When that happens, don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. And I didn't pick on you. I just threw it out there. If you got hit, talk to the Lord. By the way, conviction is also God's whole early warning system for us. When God's convicting us, He's trying to let us know you're headed for danger. Sin really costs us a lot. Let me tell you something. You never get away with sin. And sin carries a very high price tag. And the Holy Spirit will be our early warning system. Hey, you better change this. And we need to make that daily decision of I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit when He convicts me. You know, sometimes people just harden their heart. They don't listen to the Holy Spirit. He speaks to them. Their heart is calloused. When it comes to sin, you can't simply adhere to that old idea of, "Well, I'm just going to go my own way." No. By the way, in 1 Timothy 4:2, we saw this verse. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, listen, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Have you gals ever seared a steak? What you do is you make that outside hard so it keeps all the juice in. Well, when you sear your heart, that's what you're doing. You're making your heart hard so the Holy Spirit can't penetrate. By the way, we shouldn't follow our conscience. He says, well, just follow your conscience. You know, following your conscience is like this. Any of you have a wheelbarrow? Okay, you got a wheelbarrow, and you're pushing a wheelbarrow. But where's that wheelbarrow going? Where you want it to go. You are directing where it's headed. You're in control. That's how your conscience is. It's you going where you want it to go. Hey, listen, I've seen people who have justified in their conscience things you would not believe. But it's because they weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They're, I'm just going to follow my conscience. No. Listen to Him. Every time you reject Him, your heart gets a little harder. Listen to Him. And then the Holy Spirit teaches. Oh, I'm glad for this. In John 14, just before Jesus was arrested and all, He talks about the Holy Spirit. Now He's preparing His disciples because He's going to go away. And He tells them, it's expedient for you that I go away. But He says this, but if I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter, even the Holy Spirit. That's what He's done for us. In John 16, 7, He talks about it being expedient. In other words, He had to go. But He talks about His teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in verse 13 of John 16. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That's His ministry. To teach us. John wrote in John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as I have taught you, ye shall abide in Him. It's His responsibility to teach us. By the way, He's the teacher of the Word of God. In Corinthians, Paul says the natural man can't receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. We can know the things of God because we have the Holy Spirit to help us to know them. He teaches us. Living in your heart right now is a teacher who desires to guide you into all truth. That's why we're so quick to pick up on heresy. Listen, that's not your intelligence. That's the Holy Spirit. When somebody is preaching heresy and teaching heresy, boy, you pick up on it like that. Because He's in there saying, no, 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 no. That's not true. That's not right. That's not appropriate. Then notice, the Holy Spirit enables our sanctification. First of all, He reminds. He reminds. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, bring all things to your remembrance. You know, He is our heavenly reminder. I don't know if you've ever had the experience. Have you ever had the experience? You needed a verse for something. Maybe you were talking to somebody and trying to show them something, and you needed a verse and you couldn't remember where it was. Oh, I've had that. And I say, Lord, help me. I remember one time when I was working at that can company, I had a fellow who was in a Church of God, and they believed you could lose your salvation and just so many things. And we were talking one day, and I said something about the Apostle Paul seeing Jesus. And he never saw Jesus. So the Bible says he did. No. He saw a bright light on that road to Damascus and he heard a voice, but he never saw Jesus. I said, well, I'm sure the Bible says it does, but you know, I didn't know exactly where. And I prayed. I said, Lord, now I want to show him from the Bible, not for my glory. I want to show him from the Bible what your word says. Help me to find it. And I went in my toolbox. I had that Bible I told you about that I used to read. And I opened it up and I started going through there. And God took me right to the verse where Paul testifies how he saw the Lord. Sometimes when you're witnessing, you say, I know that verse is in the Bible. Oh, I need to find it. Pray. Holy Spirit, help me to find that. And you know what else he does? Sometimes, when we're going through our daily lives, we're about to do something we shouldn't do, and he brings a Bible verse to mind. Or he brings a Bible principle to mind. We're all set to go in this direction, and man, we're just about to take that step, and the Holy Spirit says, whoa, what about this? He prompts us. Reminds us, challenges us sometimes. That's his work. And then he enlightens us. Oh my. We all have blind spots. I'm talking about in our circumstances of life. Have you figured out yet God knows what's around the next corner and you don't? And God knows when somebody's trying to deceive you, and he knows a lot more than you do. Have you come to that yet? You say, oh, everybody knows that. Well, sometimes people don't live that way. Yeah, but we need to understand. He gave us that Holy Spirit to enlighten us and to help us so that we can see the truth. We can see things in our life that maybe we wouldn't have seen otherwise. Listen, every one of us has been in situations where we really didn't know what we needed to know. Now, God has a lot of ways of dealing with our limitations. Through His Word, godly counsel, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. He enlightens us. He reveals to us what we didn't know before. And you know, many times he shows us things that people around us miss. Sometimes to the undiscerning viewer, people who listen to and hear and obey the Holy Spirit seem, you ready for this? Seem to be lucky. I've had Christians say it this way, so-and-so must be living under God's manna cloud because the blessings just keep pouring on them. Well, maybe they're listening. And maybe they're letting the Holy Spirit guide their lives in that path of blessing. Maybe they're letting the Holy Spirit help them to make the right choices more often. Sometimes we think, well, these people, they're very discerning. They see danger, and they see dangerous circumstances before others see it. Oh, they're able to connect the dots a lot better. No. They're just listening to the Holy Spirit and following Him. You know, sometimes He'll turn the light switch on. Have you ever had that happen? You be into something and all of a sudden you see things you didn't see before. Ooh. He's trying to show you. John 16:13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He gives us discernment. He gives us wisdom. He applies truth specifically in moments when we're facing, and He guides us when we need guidance. What a helper. Listen, I've said many times, I am so very thankful that I have the Holy Spirit to guide me. Huh? And then he does this. He produces growth. We're supposed to grow as Christians. When you get saved, you're born as a new baby in the Lord. Babies aren't supposed to stay babies. You're supposed to grow up and mature. And we're supposed to mature as believers and grow up in spiritual things. And he's the one that helps us in our growth. Have you ever read Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit. He's the one that produces the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance in our lives. And the more we yield to him, the more we display that fruit. How's your crop coming? Yeah, he wants us to grow. This is where the personal life change produced by the Holy Spirit becomes visible, becomes evident in our lives. This is when people will come to you and say, you're different than you used to be. Or maybe they won't say it to you, but people will say to other people, oh yeah, so-and-so is sure different than they used to be. That's not you. You didn't do that. The Holy Spirit has done that in you. I told you the story about the fellow I went soul winning with at Faith Baptist Church. He had been a drunkard. He used to go to the bars and he was a fighter. The bartender that used to serve him told me from his own mouth, he said he was the meanest man in town. And he looked at the guy and he called his name. He said, I'm so glad that you got saved or whatever you got. I think he called it religion. It changed your life. But he was glad for the man. Now this man never got saved. The bartender we're talking to, trying to lead him to Christ. But he noticed, he saw the difference in this other man. And it was God that made the difference. See, the Holy Spirit desires to cultivate good qualities in your heart that they'll show up in your life, in your relationships, in your daily walk. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit produces holiness. Oh my. Here's what one man said. This is a statement a man made. Holiness is something that many Christians couldn't care less about. He said, it's not even a word we often use in our modern vernacular. How tragic that is. But it's where our, and I'm going to use the big, that's where our churches have come to today. Very little holiness preaching. People don't like to hear that God expects us to be holy. Didn't God say, be ye holy, for I am holy? Is that in the Bible? Well, then God expects his people to be holy. But you see, today, especially in our American Christianity, preachers don't want to touch that. Because it's not popular. It's not what people want to hear. They don't want to be confronted with the fact that, hey, you need to deal with the sin in your life. You need to strive to live a righteous and holy life. Now, I know we can't live perfection, but we ought to be striving to have less sin in our life today than we did yesterday. To be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. Holiness. There's a 19th century Scottish preacher. His name is Robert Murray McShane. He's a well-known preacher, wrote books. He wrote the quote I'm going to give you to Dan Edwards, who was a young missionary, and he was about to go out into the field. And this is what Robert Murray McShane wrote to this young fellow. He said, "In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses, so much as great likeness to Christ Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God." Holiness. Well, what's holiness? Purity from sin. It's the defining attribute of God. God is holy. Everybody knows that. Well, what's that mean? It means there's absolutely no sin in his life. And that's the ultimate goal for us. One day we will be sinless. But it's not going to be here. When we get over there. Because there's no more sin in heaven. See, God don't want us just to be saved from that penalty of sin, but the practice of sin. Oh, we rejoice, I'm saved from the penalty of sin, I don't ever have to go to hell. But God says, now that I've saved you and loosed you from the bondage of sin, I want you not to practice sin in your life. He makes us aware of our sin. We deal with our sin. And we live to avoid sin if we're really going to be sanctified. That's what Paul was talking about. Ephesians 5, he says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." How about 1 Corinthians 6? We know these verses. "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Listen, if we will heed and walk in the Holy Spirit, He will always produce and create a more holy lifestyle in us. He will guide us, if we'll let Him, into the right choices. He'll guide us away from harmful things like entertainment and things we shouldn't be involved with. He'll help you to be an effective steward in all the areas of your life if we'll listen to Him. Picture this. A believer wanting to walk into a bar room and have a drink. You think the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Go ahead"? No, He's going to be in there saying, "No, no, no, you don't do that." A believer wanting to watch the wrong things on the television. He's going to be there saying, "No, no, no, turn that off. You don't watch that." A believer reading the wrong things, listening to the wrong things, saying the wrong things. That's His ministry. He wants to produce holiness. But here's the catch. We've got to cooperate. We've got to cooperate. We have a will. God's given us a free will. And we've got to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. That's why in Galatians, Paul said, you either walk after the Spirit or you walk after the flesh. You've got to choose. But oh, what rewards there are when you walk in the Spirit. Have you ever tried to change yourself? How many of you ever turned over a new leaf? Huh? Okay, I'll get real personal now. Don't raise your hand. But how many of us have gone on a diet? We're trying to change ourselves. How hard is that? Oh, that's a battle. And usually we lose. We might go a little while and then, you know, we fall off the wagon. Here we are, back where we were. But see, when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have power to overcome. We have power to do what God says we're supposed to do. You know, whether it's deep spiritual issues of anger or character or daily habits, personal discipline, changing ourselves is impossible. So many Christians try this thing of, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this. And they try it in their own power and they fail. You know what they do next? They blame God. Well, I tried, but I failed. You were trying in your own power. And by the way, I was there. Yeah, I've tried to overcome things in my own power and got defeated and got defeated and got defeated until I finally came to the point where I said, I can't do this, Lord. And he said, about time you realize that. And he said, now I can give you the victory because you'll know it's me and not you. That's where we need to be. Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, you're now made perfect by the flesh? Listen, his sanctifying ministry is a phenomenal ministry, but we've got to get back to where we cooperate. Want to allow him to minister. You know, it's just like when you got saved. Jesus said he'll save you. If you'll cooperate, if you'll ask him, he's not going to push himself on you. He's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. But he says, hey, if you just yield to me, I'll do it. And that's what we need to do. Sanctification. Set apart for his glory. Listen, our lives ought to glorify him. That's what we're here for. To bring glory to his name and to bring others to him. How's your life in this area glorifying him? That's where we need to be. Alright, questions or comments about sanctification of the Holy Spirit? This is where we are. This is where we must live. This is another ministry. Last time we talked about his saving ministry. He's the one that brings us to Christ. He draws us. He convicts us. He shows us. Once we're saved, now he's the one who begins to work in our life to conform us to the image of Christ. We must walk in his power. You can't do it yourself. Have you ever read over there in John where Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. That's where we are. Without him, we can do nothing. With him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, thank you for the ministry of